294th meeting of the Board of Directors and our first meeting of the Board of Directors that will be simulcast to everyone. So not only say good morning to the folks here with us in the room, but also to all those who might be listening. The first item is the approval of the agenda. And I'd entertain a motion for approval. The agenda is submitted.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next, I'd entertain a motion for approval of the minutes of our May 19th, 2005 meeting. Mr. Taglierini moves. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Zimmerman. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carries. We turn now to our public comment period, and I'm happy to see that I actually have a constituent who is the only person signed up in advance. Neil, and I'll probably begin by mispronouncing your name, Neil. Sheldon Free?
Fry. Very close.
Okay. And you wish to... And you wish to address us on the segues, and you have 2 minutes to do it.
Yeah, the proposal on the segue. I'm Neil Schuldenfry from Alexandria, Virginia. I'm sorry, I wrote for 3 minutes, so I'll move very quickly. I'm troubled by the current proposal to ban segues during rush hour in the subway system. I believe, in short, that this is a solution looking for a problem. Not only that, but it creates a huge potential liability for Metro in the way that it's written. The number of segways on Metro right now is minuscule. In the system, it's a negligible impact on the system right now. There are few, if any, they take up less room than baby strollers or luggage. It's my understanding there hasn't been a single complaint to Metro about them. There hasn't been a single injury. I've gotten overwhelming support from station managers. I think if there was a problem, they would let me know. The only incident was 2 years ago when a person with a disability let go of hers and it went onto the tracks. Ironically, under the proposal, there would be no impact on that because, as a person with a disability, she'd still be allowed to be in the Metro using it, and so we'd still have the same result. My biggest concern with the proposal as it's written right now for Metro's perspective is that rather than resolving a problem, it creates a huge potential liability under the Americans with Disabilities Act. I'm an attorney. I deal with disability rights laws every day. I can tell you that you can't discriminate against people under the Act. Under this proposal, if a person with a Segway shows up from out of town on vacation and tries to enter the Metro, they're going to be turned away because they have not obtained certification under the reduced fare program, submitted a doctor's note on a form certified by WMATA, and gone through in-person rail training as this proposal requires. The moment you turn that person away, you have a huge potential financial liability on your hands. So, in closing, what I basically would like to say is that given these issues, the fact that there's minimal impact, most people have never even seen a Segway in the Metro system, and the potential liability, I would request that the board take a further look at this before making a decision on this proposal. Thank you.
Neil, thank you for your testimony, and this will be coming up shortly when we discuss the customer safety and operations. And just a personal note, I think I may have, since I know where your home is, have I seen you along the side of the trail of the Franconia Springfield Parkway riding?
Yes.
Okay. Then I've seen you on your Segway. Okay. And that concludes the list of speakers. The next item we have, yes.
Just a question on public comment period. We've been operating under draft rules for public comment, I guess. Do we have a schedule on when we're going to take up a matter of formal adoption?
Yes, we do, and I'll defer to Mr. White to answer.
Yes, I believe it's scheduled for our July Policy and Legislative Committee meeting. Mr.
Next is the report from our General Manager, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. White.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My June Board Digest report is in front of you, and I'm really only going to refer to one item on that report and then bring you up to date on an operational issue and then just kind of close by drawing your attention to several of our contracting items that are on your agenda today. The item I'd like to highlight for you that it is in the report is our track renovation program. Is going to be quite extensive this summer, and you know we're balancing modernizing the system and doing the necessary equipment upgrades to improve the reliability of the service and the ride quality of the service. That's the good news. The bad news is it's going to have a degree of inconvenience for our customers. So we have we thought we needed to give a lot of attention to this issue and give previous notice to our region, and we have given we have a detailed schedule here that has been announced, and we need to continue to reaffirm it. There's a major piece of work that's going in this weekend that will have implications on parts of the Red Line, and we've attempted to select these weekends by looking at what's going on in our region with an eye towards finding those periods of time where we would have the minimum inconvenience. And that's not to say there won't be things that are necessarily going on or might have some amount of impacts. We've attempted to balance all of those considerations out because this is work that absolutely needs to be done. In this report, you can see several weekends where there will be very extensive work going on, and then therefore there will be very extensive operational issues with respect to single tracking that are going to have an impact. So I did want to draw your attention to that. You may very well hear a lot of commentary. You may even see things written about the single tracking operation that's going to be going on during these periods of time. We need to just make sure that we are using all the communication processes that we have to the maximum extent possible to make sure this information is, one, understood in advance, but we know there'll be people who won't be getting the information until they arrive on the scene and then see that there's some potential lengthy delay for their service, of which they're probably going to be unhappy about. And number two, get them to understand the reasons why we're doing this, which is to improve the reliability of the system and to improve our ride quality. The item that's not on the report that I would like to draw your attention to, and we do have a handout on this right now, is related to the incident that took place a week ago last Tuesday, where we had some train communication and automatic train control failures that occurred that led to the need for operators to take intervention actions for the movement of our trains. As soon as that could be detected within a train or two, we then immediately moved into procedures that put manual train operations in and automatic block protections, which are actual and absolute communication commands that are given between OCC and the train operators that actually give them verbal instructions to proceed for safe movement. The location in question is the location between Roslyn and Foggy Bottom, which is about a 7,000-foot location. Since that time, we've needed to slow the trains down going through there, which means that the running time has been extended, which means, of course, there's been longer dwells and longer end-to-end points. We did, a couple days ago, put in an operational plan that reduced the actual number of trains, but maintain the level of capacity by building up eight-car trains. We actually reduced our Orange Line trains by three in the peak hour from 18 to 15, and then took those 18 cars and built up nine eight-car trains to provide the same throughput, which actually provided a greater sense of order in the system because there were fewer trains competing to make that move. There are a total of 17 track circuits between these two stations. It's a painstaking process that we have to go through. There's actually 12 separate types of testing that needs to be done under our protocols and procedures, which are largely derivatives of FRA requirements that we have adopted and actually have some additional enhancements for Metro's applications. And we went through 12 different sets of procedures and couldn't find something, so we needed to go through the level 2 checks that take place and then the level 3 checks that take place inside of that testing cycle. Alstom has been in since the early part of this week, since they are the successor company to the signal equipment, which is General Railway signal equipment, that was being examined. The good news is that we finally found the culprit as of, I guess it was either late last night or very early this morning. We did find the exact faulty track circuit of the 17 circuits. There is one circuit that's 963 feet long. There is a map that we have there for you, so we were able now to for the longest time, we couldn't replicate the fault, which, of course, gives you concerns. If you can't make that failure occur again, you won't know what caused the failure in the first instance. We were finally able to successfully replicate the failure repeatedly so that we knew that we had found the faulty track circuit. However, it is a connection that goes all the way to the Roslyn station, so it's almost the entire length that we're talking about here, that actually the cable needs to be removed. So we'll be in the process of taking those actions. It is a very laborious and time-consuming process. We do fully expect that by the Monday rush hour that work will have been completed and any of the speed restrictions and procedural restrictions that we need to take in place can be lifted. We will then need to take that track cable and all the myriad of wiring and track circuitry that's inside of that and then go right down and find the source and then actually find inside that source what was the precipitator of that source. So that's work that we will be doing as soon as the cable can be removed from the system. The extent to which we see anything that comes out of that that's something that's important that we know and examine anywhere else in the system, we will obviously take those steps. This is an extremely rare occurrence, either here at Metro or elsewhere around the country. However, we do want to make sure that we treat this with the seriousness that it does require and the extent to which, through this evaluation process, that we find something that might be important with respect to inspection and maintenance procedures elsewhere in the system. We will take those actions. So it's good news after, I guess, maybe 9 or 10 very long working days. We've had a lot of staff people who have literally been working around the clock. There have been a small army of people who have been working this thing morning, noon, and night to try and diagnose this. And they were very, very frustrated that it was this hard to find this. I guess to get to this point is a sense of accomplishment and joy on the part of the people who have been searching for this. And so we're able now to take this and move on, and then we'll do the diagnostics, as I said before, and we'll keep status reports going, but we feel very, very confident that by the Monday morning rush hour, all of this work will have been done and any of our speed restrictions can be removed and full automatic train operations and automatic train protection procedures can be put back into place. Mr. Chairman, I'll finish my report and then take any questions that you might have. Really just, a lot of times we take these contracting items on, and there's a lot of stuff that's in those contracting items. And I think it's good because I know you want to be efficient with the work that you do as the board here. And to help you with that, so maybe you can consider some of these en masse, there is a series of contracting items that start with item 3 and work 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And these are big and significant contracting items related to our infrastructure renewal program, a Metromatters funding agreement, taking some of the capital deferrals that have taken place in the system and begin to work away on some of those capital deferrals, in some instances beginning the replacement of, ironically, things such as automatic train control track circuitry that needs to be go through a useful life replacement cycle. There's $54 million of expenditures in these things for egress hatches, ATC track circuits, structural rehabilitation, track equipment, information technology, renewal product. And a big one that I want to point out for you on item 6, which is replacing the PA system in the remainder of our underground stations, the original PA system and the original CCTV equipment. And you might know that we did a limited demonstration where we replaced that equipment in our oldest and original red line stations and took the speakers that people can't hear that are in the vaulted arches and brought them down to the platforms, to the signage that's on the platforms and into the areas where the indirect lighting is, and you can hear the announcements so much better because the speakers are closer to the delivery point where people are hearing this. So once that investment is completed, within a couple of years, I believe, we will have at least the underground portions of our system replaced, and I think our customers will be hearing much clearer messages than the CCTV systems that we are using will also be more effective for us. We've put the recorders on these, which is a big help, but the old product itself, the CCTV equipment itself, is very old, and this will replace that out. So, Mr. Chairman, that concludes my report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Questions or comments from colleagues? Mr. Pangolini?
Just one comment. I find the report excellent and fulsome. I think there's a lot of good work that the folks have been doing. I do note, though, and I'd just like to comment for future reports, that of all the items in here, except for the Transit Police Department Honors Officers Achievements, they all have to do with rail, and there isn't a single mention of bus in here. And I think just coming off the last discussion, that there is, there's one? Okay. Break drums. Okay. It just seems that, you know, we have to start thinking about ways to balance our focus. That's all.
Other questions and comments from colleagues? Yes, sir.
Just want to add on the last note that traveling on the red line this morning, I took note of the clarity of the communication system, and I just think the comments you made were very appropriate, and appreciate the clarity of hearing our announcements this morning.
That comment was from Mr. Linton. For those listening, I apologize, didn't recognize you immediately. Any other comments? Very well. We'll move to the next item, which is the report from the Policy and Legislative Committee. And I'll be giving that. We had no specific action items to move forward to the board. We did discuss some of the issues of future funding of the authority with some of the various federal instruments being debated. We did hear, I think most significantly, from the Business Transportation Action Coalition, BTRAC, a group that has recognized the significant importance of WMATA to the region's business community and their interest in securing our long-term funding. And that included reports from Bob Peck, the head of the Greater Washington Board of Trade, and David Perry of the Federal City Council, and Rich Bradley of the Downtown Business Improvement District. And we definitely look forward to working with these groups as we continue to make our case for the dedicated funding for the region's transit system. The next item is the report by the Real Estate Committee, and I'd heard Mr. Graham on that.
Skipping planning and development?
Yes, I am for the moment.
Okay, good. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The public session of the Real Estate Committee met on June 2nd, 2005, and voted to recommend board consideration of the following items. Item number one is approval of the FY 2006 Joint Development Work Program. Unfortunately, I was unable to attend this meeting, and thus, there are issues relating to the D.C. Aspects of this Joint Development Work Program. And I would like to move to recommit this program to the Real Estate Committee. We will certainly be back to this board in July.
Okay, we have a motion to recommit. There's a second from Mr. Zimmerman. Any discussion?
Yes.
Mr. Deegan.
Are you just recommitting the DC portion?
No, I'm recommitting the entire program. Because it would not be possible to take one piece of it and put it out without having the entire joint development program put out. It will involve just a delay of a short period of time.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of Mr. Graham's motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, chair votes aye, motion carries. Mr. Graham?
Second item is the approval of a compact public hearing for the Rhode Island Avenue Joint Development Site. In March 2005, WMATA and Mid-City Urban LLC executed a joint development agreement for the site at the Rhode Island Metrorail Station. The development anticipated at this site will remove WMATA parking from the existing surface lot and replace it with a new garage to be built by the developer. To comply with WMATA compact requirements, staff requests that a public hearing be held regarding this proposed change to the station parking. The District of Columbia has requested that parking at this station be reduced from 387 spaces to a total of 215. This action requests authorization to conduct a public hearing and to reduce WMATA's parking as requested by the District of Columbia. I move approval.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? Seconded by Mr. Deegan. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, chair votes aye. Motion carries. Mr. Graham.
The final item is approval to allocate a portion of Maryland's share of WMATA's TIF to the Tacoma-Langley Transit Center. The Secretary of the Maryland Department of Transportation has formally requested that WMATA use TIF funds allocated to Maryland for a transit center at the Tacoma-Langley Park Crossroads. The Crossroads area is a transit hub for Metro Bus, Montgomery County's Ride-On Service, and Prince George's County, The Bus, and requires safety and service improvements. Maryland has $6.7 million in TIF funds remaining in its allocation of WMATA projects to be funded with TIF funds, $800,000 of which can be immediately made available for planning and preliminary design. WMATA has determined that creation of such a transit center will improve transit service for Metro Bus customers and, by virtue of improved safety, may increase Metro Bus ridership. I move approval.
Second. Moved and seconded by Mr. Deegan. Any discussion on this item? No one requesting to be recognized. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carries.
That's all for us, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Next is a report by the Budget Committee. In an absence of Ms. Mack, who unfortunately can't be with us today, the chair will be forced to recognize himself, even though I don't recall being that old or that fat. The following actions were considered by the committee for referral to the board. First, the Line 12 Centerville to Vienna restructuring plan. This is the restructuring of a route that is within the county of Fairfax. The additional subsidy will be borne solely by the county, and I would move approval of this change. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Zimmerman. Any discussion? All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Second item is the staff report on the proposed market-based pricing for parking at Morgan Boulevard and the Largo Town stations. And as the acting chair of the committee, I move approval of the item.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Deegan. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, chair votes aye. Motion carries. The next item is the approval of the FY06 operating budget and operating reimbursable projects. We did discuss this in detail at the committee level. There are some concerns about how we handled our operating reserve. This has been memorialized as maintaining a 1% consistent with the approval resolution 2003-50 and will not be increased without board action. And I move approval of the operating budget for FY06. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cagrilini. Discussion? Hearing and seeing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next item is the approval of the FY06 2011 capital budget. This does recognize a significant investment thanks to the jurisdictions of this region pulling together on the Metro Matters program. Includes many projects as listed in the item before you, and I would move approval of the capital budget for FY06 to 11.
Second.
There's a motion seconded. Any discussion on the item? All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next item is administrative action associated with tax-advantaged leases. This involves action to substitute two rail cars for the two covered by an October 1998 tax advantage lease that were involved in an accident. This includes all the actions we need to take to move the tax advantage lease forward, and I would move approval. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carries. We also discussed other items as listed, and that would conclude the report of the Budget Committee. Next, again, filling in for Ms. Mack, report on the meeting of the Audit Committee. There were no specific actions requiring action by this body. We did go over the quarterly audit reports, the FY06 audit plan, and the allocation of resources and the studies that we'll be undertaking. I just want to highlight again, particularly for those watching and listening, that this body has undertaken a great deal of review on how we handle audits and review, making certain that they're open to the public, to those in the media, so we continue to make this good system better. And that will conclude the report from the audit committee. Next, I understand that the Planning and Development Committee Chairman, Mr. Zimmerman, is ready for making his report, so I defer to Mr. Zimmerman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Planning and Development Committee met on June 2nd and has a couple of items to request your approval on. The first concerns the FY06 Project Development Program. The committee was briefed by the staff, and staff requested approval for the proposed $3.1 million FY06 Project Development Program as part of the FY06 Capital Improvement Program. There is a resolution. It's item A in your packet for this item, and the back of which lists the individual items. And on behalf of the committee, I move approval.
Motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Smith. Any discussion on the item? Hearing and seeing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Mr. Zimmerman.
Second item for action concerns the opening dates for the New Carrollton Yard and College Park and New Carrollton parking garages. Staff requests the committee concur and forward to the board for approval. The following opening dates: College Park Garage, June 25th, 2005. New Carrollton Garage, October 29th, 2005. And New Carrollton Yard, January 8th, 2006. Again, the resolution is identified as item B. And on behalf of the committee, I move its approval.
Seconded by Mr. Deegan. Any discussion? All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Mr. Zimmerman.
Committee had discussions on a number of other items. One concerned the need to continue monitoring the capacity on the yellow line following the opening of the Huntington parking structure, which added approximately 1,420 parking spaces. Staff will monitor that and report back as necessary. Staff was also, we also discussed the contributions to the economy of Metro as part of the value capture project. We had an extensive discussion of potential strategic partnerships and initiatives on technology, and after much discussion, it was decided that the staff will go back and do some further work and come back to the committee in September, and at that time, we'll consider their request for funding of that initiative. That concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Zimmerman. I just note that at Huntington, the net increase in parking spaces is actually 500. The rest are being relocated and working with the developer.
Mr. Chairman, I remember hearing that as well, and the notes I have here say added approximately 1,420 spaces, but I do recall in the committee that that was the clarification we got at the time. Thank you.
Any questions of Mr. Zimmerman? Hearing and seeing none, we go on to the report by the Customer Service Operations and Safety Committee. Mr. Smith.
Chairman, the Customer Service Operations and Safety Committee met today, June 16th, is recommending two action items for consideration. Firstly, the committee moves and recommends board approval of the naming of the District 1 police station after fallen officer Marlon Francisco Morales. Move approval.
Second.
Chairman.
Seconded. And question for Mr. Graham.
I just want to say how fitting and appropriate I find this action. Officer Morales was killed at a station which is within the ward I'm privileged to represent in the District of Columbia, and we have at that station a very suitable and appropriate bronze plaque, and this additional action is just very well received. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any other comments? Hearing and seeing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, chair votes aye. Mr. Zimmerman? Excuse me, Mr. Smith, sorry.
The second item from the committee is to move and recommend board approval of the resolution to change the WMATA tariff to establish a section to regulate the use of automatic balancing wheeled conveyances, ABWC, in the metro system. The policy will be effective August 5, 2005. On behalf of the committee, I move approval.
Motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Deegan. Is there discussion? Mr. Tangerlini?
Still being on the forefront of my mind, having just walked out of that committee, I still would like to suggest that we explore the concept of allowing, at least initially, these vehicles, these devices on the transit system during rush hour. I don't think we have a huge problem we're dealing with here, and I think it would be bad to foreclose people's access in anticipation of a problem and then send a signal to other transit properties as well. And so I would like to suggest a similar amendment to the proposed policy that just simply strikes the prohibition during rush hour.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Mr. Gray.
May I suggest to Mr. Tangerlini that rather than doing that here, which I'm inclined to support, that we instead send this issue back to the committee so that we could have a little bit more discussion in depth about this question and get a little bit more from the staff on this issue specifically. Would you be willing to take that as a friendly amendment to you?
Oh, and I, given the revelation about the issues, the ADA issues, again, on the public comment, I would be supportive of that.
So then my friendly amendment would be that this be referred back to the committee for further discussion.
Maker of the motion is Mr. Smith, and he'd have to decide whether that's...
Well, as Mr. Zimmerman has given us great tutelage in the past, I think there's no such thing as a friendly amendment. If the gentleman wants to move to refer it back to committee, that's a separate motion. That wouldn't be attached to a...
Mr. Chairman, if I may...
You can't make that part of the motion. The motion to approve, can't...
Right. That's a point well taken.
So this would be a substitute motion that Mr. Tangerlini is putting on the table, and Mr. Graham would be seconding.
He's going to move to recommit.
Right. That's the motion.
Okay. Then we'll have a discussion on the substitute motion, which is a motion to recommit to the Customer Service Operations and Safety Committee. Is there any discussion? Mr. Graham, I believe, seconded the motion.
I thought it was his motion.
No, it was a motion. What I heard is coming in substance is a motion from Mr. Tangerlini, seconded by Mr. Graham. And Mr. Tangerlini.
Or the other way around, whichever gets it.
Either way. Any discussion on this item? Let me have a clarification as chair, and then Mr. Zimmerman for a question. Clarification, in the absence of us not taking action while we're waiting for this potentially to be reconsidered, is it not currently against our operating procedures to allow a segue onto the system?
Well, since we don't have any clear policies or procedures that we operate under, we would sort of maintain the current status. And I believe, Mr. Chairman, our practice, has been to be more on the tolerant side than to be on the intolerant side.
As the speaker at public comment raise questions about legal liability and so on, and while I certainly wouldn't be the appropriate place to respond to those, I would like to know if council has had the opportunity to review all this. And
yes, we've had the opportunity to review it. We do not agree with the speaker.
Question. I guess part of the question, though, that is raised is what problem we're solving with this policy as opposed to the de facto policy. And don't adopt anything today. See, I thought that we were in a position where it was basically not enabled, that it was analogous to the situation we had with bicycles before we did the bike on rail policy. But it seems that's not really the situation, that we are in effect permitting these now.
Let me, ask the chief whether she can provide some clarification on that, just to make sure we have her point of view here.
I'll repeat what I said at the town hall meeting, which is actually in some jurisdictions they're prohibited by law.
By local
regulation that applies to WMATA. There had been a decision some time ago to permit them in the system, and what people were told to do was to walk them. And the policy that currently exists is kind of in alignment with what we've been abiding by, suggesting to people that it's appropriate to follow some of the recommendations pertaining to bicycles because there are safety concerns regarding evacuation, congested platforms, and a myriad of concerns. We've not had a tremendous number of Segways in the system. I think you have entrepreneurs. There's a tour group in the District of Columbia that uses Segways. I think people are waiting to see what happens here today. I think some of the policies were if you can predict it, you can prevent it. And I think that by the policy, we were looking to prevent some things. Does that mean those things, you know, may never happen? But I think that was the purpose of the policy, was to have uniformity along the issue of bicyclists. Of course, it took us a while, as you know, to get to that policy. But that was the thought kind of behind it.
Problem with taking a little more time to get to that policy here if we were to send this back to committee?
I can't. Of course, the board, I think, has made that decision, and that's appropriate.
We haven't made a decision yet, so I'm just wondering, is there any reason not to, I mean, is there any problem that we would create by taking another month or two, as the motion before us would have us?
I don't think so, Mr. Zimmerman.
With that, Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to support the motion.
The only, if I could,
sure.
The only thing that I would want to state publicly here is that much with bicycles in July 4th, we prohibit that type of device in our system because of the crowding. And I personally would make the recommendation for July 4th that we might consider the same kind of prohibition because of the issues of congestion and crowding. And my partner in safety and security is sitting next to me, and I think that he would probably concur. So while we might not have a formal policy then, because the formal policy does provide times when the rail folks or the police can say no just because of the concerns for safety and security, that we might want to keep that in the back of our minds as we've developed our policy that we might prohibit them on July 4th.
Well, there certainly is an overriding policy above all else here, which is safety first. I think Mr. Sickles was responsible for the pins we have with Metro that say that on it. That is the number one policy. And many things are not board-adopted policy that are Metro policies because there's a degree of administrative authority. There are decisions you have to make, first and foremost, for the safety of the public. And I think we all understand that, too. So what we lack here is a board-adopted policy. It's not that there is no policy. It's that it hasn't been formally acted upon by the board. But in the absence of that, you know, I think it's understood that those who are responsible for the day-to-day operation of this system make regulations they need to ensure public safety. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Lynn?
Following up with Mr. Zimmerman's last comment, it's clear to me that since we have not adopted a policy, we are, in fact, allowing discretionary use of decision-making by our staff, and they, in fact, will be subject to the whims of the public and responses to that as well. So I think by not establishing a policy, we are creating a situation where you will have to make decisions such as the July 4th. You have to do that administratively without the full consent of the board. I'm not necessarily think that's the best position to be in as well. I do think what the committee considered today was an appropriate approach to this. It was moderate. It was an opportunity to test the use of these vehicles in a situation where we did not have maximum use of our facilities. I thought it was consistent with our bicycle policy. I thought it was the right approach to take. But right now we're continuing to have this vacuum of not having a board established policy until we send this back to committee for further action. But if that's the choice of the board, that's what we will abide by.
Your comments? Okay, we have a vote then on the substitute motion, which is to remand this back to the Customer Service Operations and Safety Committee. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Okay, this motion carries. It will be remanded back to the committee. That concludes the report from the committee. Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith, does that conclude your report?
Other items discussed, just for the record, were the recommendations of the APTIP bus peer review and the July 4th operations plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. The chair would entertain a motion for approval of the administrative actions.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval on block of administrative items 1 through 14.
Second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Deegan. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carries. We turn to reports. No report from NVTC. From DC, Mr. Tangerlini.
No report.
We'll turn quickly, Mr. Tangerlini. Report from the WSTC, Mr. Deegan.
No report.
Okay, I then have motions for executive session for today and a motion for an executive session on the 23rd of June. First motion is I move that the board meet in executive session to discuss legal, personnel, and budgetary matters consistent with board procedure, Roman numeral 7.2. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Tangerlini. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Chair votes aye. That motion carries. Second is a motion for executive session on June the 23rd, 2005. I move that the board meet in executive session beginning at 9 on June 23rd. That's 9 a.m. on June 23rd to discuss labor issues consistent with board procedure Roman numeral 7.2.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Smith or Zimmerman. Mr. Zimmerman. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, chair votes aye. That motion carries. This concludes the meeting.